By the way, speaking of which, I'm going to be talking with Tom Repke, our friend, our pastor friend from Linden Road Presbyterian, coming up in the next hour. We have a lot to talk about, including, I guess, something that will maybe explain a little bit about my what-in-the-world feeling. The recent Gallup poll on church attendance among American adults, it is something that may make you uncomfortable to hear. It's kind of difficult to hear, but certainly not something that's unexpected about the decline in church affiliation by American adults. That's coming up in just about 20 minutes. It is Tuesday morning, the 13th of April, 2021. And Tom Repke is back from Linden Road Presbyterian. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Mark.
Good to see you.
Good to be seen.
Yeah. You know, we were just, we're going to talk about some kind of, heavy stuff, moderately heavy stuff in the next 30 minutes or however long this takes.
Okay.
Yeah. First of all, I'm glad to see that the coffee cake ministry has continued.
It continues, yes.
Thank you, Melinda. Appreciate it. Hopefully there'll be some left when Gabe returns on Thursday.
Well, you know.
You know, this is broadcasting.
Yeah, and you are doing some hiking, so maybe
food can disappear at a moment's notice.
Carbs are important.
Exactly. And before we get into some of the heavy stuff, we were just talking about Netflix, and they've come under a tremendous amount of criticism and scrutiny in the last year, but it looks like they might have done something right.
They did, yeah. There's a new movie came out a couple weeks ago called A Week Away, and I spent 35 of my summers at church camp, first as a camper, and I guess it just didn't stick, and then eventually over the years I actually became the director of the program that our local church ran down in Southern Ohio. But it's just a fun kind of, I don't want to spoil it, but Stephen Curtis Chapman's in it, and Amy Grant's in it. You'll have to watch for them. They've got their own cameos, and it's just a fun week away, a story of a young man who's struggling to find his place, and he ends up being sent to camp. And as a sort of a, this is a last ditch effort. And, you know, the story is all about Jesus. And I think that's just so encouraging.
Very encouraging.
And then for you that, you know, we're always tapping on the Wayback Machine.
I mean, yeah, exactly.
You'll have to go, oh my goodness. And there's actually some fun elements where they brought in some King and Country to modernize it. But there's some Michael W. Smith and Amy Grant. And it's just fun.
So all right.
Heartily encourage people to watch it.
Good to know.
Week away.
All right. Tom Repke with us on a regular basis, I guess, semi-regular basis. A couple weeks ago, Gallup came out with a poll that is an annual thing.
Right.
And I was listening to Al Mohler's podcast, and he was talking about it about a week and a half ago. And now it has kind of pushed out into the wider secular news sphere. So I thought it might be a good thing for us to talk about this morning. For the first time in the history of the Gallup poll, U.S. church membership, and we have to recognize that Gallup says church, they mean church, synagogue, mosque.
Right.
They mean all of it. That U.S. church membership for American adults has fallen below 50%.
Right.
First time. Now, you might be surprised to note what the highest number actually was. So I went back and I looked. In the first Gallup poll, the first time they measured this in 1937, any idea what the number might have been percentage-wise?
I looked at it, but it actually increases.
Yeah, it does.
A little bit, but that's World War II.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So
it was in the 60s?
No, it was actually 73%.
Oh, 73, okay.
And then it did peak like about 1947,
right,
in the post-war years at 76%,
right,
of American adults had a church/religious affiliation.
Right. And if you think about our communities, for example, many of our communities, the churches that are there, the downtown churches, that's really when they came back and the amazing soldiers that served in World War II, they wanted to be encouragers, and so they, because of having pushed through the terrible aspect of World War II, they wanted to bring hope. And so many churches were renovated and, you know, new sanctuaries with spires and just, you know, a whole new perspective. But then mm-hmm. it slides. But it's, you know, it's interesting.
Okay, so let's talk about the slide. And I'll give the number of this latest poll in a minute or two. But I want to talk about the slide. Because there are a lot of factors, I think, that have contributed to the slide.
Sure.
You know, people can obviously blame the removal of God from the classroom in the early 1960s. But if you look at the numbers, from 1951 to 1966, they stay exactly the same.
They do.
73%. So I don't think it was removing God from the classroom.
No. And I think if you really want to push into it, I mean, I think it goes back to just, you know, the nation of Israel. I mean, we've been around here before, right? And we wax and wane in our relationship with God. And, you know, even in the early part of the Old Testament, you're working through it, right?
Right. And Wendy is really getting tired of me now in 1st and 2nd Kings, and I'm about to enter Chronicles.
Okay.
But reading all these stories of these kings of Israel, and then the you know, they get named.
Right.
And who their father was.
Right.
And then the very next thing is, he did evil in the sight of the Lord.
Right.
And very few of them, he did good in the sight of the Lord, or he lived as his father David. You know.
Yeah, and I think the idea of what we, and this is, you know, even, you know, so, you know, it isn't shown on the graph, but, you know, think about what happened in America's churches after 9/11.
Right.
Same kind of thing, but I think the reality is our faith journey, it comes down to not institutionalized religion. It really comes down to, where are you walking with Jesus? You know, it seems mm-hmm. like every time we talk, we end up back there. It's about your intimate personal time with him. And even in Deuteronomy 6, the charge, you know, for the family. It wasn't always supposed to be this sort of gathering in a building. And we've learned in this COVID era, right, that the church was not the building, if it's not been demonstrated even more so. I mean, Rick Warren, I just saw him on a podcast, and they have yet to open.
Oh, his church, yeah.
Yeah, in California. But he said that they have had more people come to faith in Jesus Christ in this last year than the history of the church. And they're knocking the door on 40 years. And it's just amazing when we see that, because he leveraged all sorts of very creative things. And I think that's the beauty of the kingdom, especially right now. And so Gallup can show this. Now, let me just add this. So, you know, I'm in the Presbyterian tribe, and there's a lot of reasons why. But in 1980, there were 80,000 Presbyterians in our presbytery, which is basically Mansfield, Ashland, south down to the river, sort of that quarter of the state.
Okay.
Right now, currently, there are 6,500. So from 80,000, but that reflects what Gallup is showing, and our traditional churches especially have been struggling. Even the synagogues, even our friends in the Jewish community have been struggling to make things relevant to where people are. And I think that's been part of the slide, is that idea that we've made church something that's not. It's, you know, and especially in COVID, when you can't do the smoke and the haze and the lights, yeah. You realize it's very simple. And when you really read into it, it's this idea that people went to church because of the message, you know, of being encouraged. And so I think, you know, that's the reality. So Gallup is sort of tapping on a problem we already were seeing happen in our churches. Great history and great work done, but, you know, the message hasn't changed. Jesus Christ is still the hope of the world, but the method by which we do that has to change. And I think what COVID's really has helped force us into getting out of our buildings, learning who our neighbors are, and learning how to have conversations. And that sort of period of time in the 60s where things were just sort of, I mean, that was the biggest choice you had on Sunday, was, where do I go to church?
Where do we go? Yeah.
Yeah. And today, you know, it sort of reflects, and then, you know, you roll into the cultural issues, and are we surprised, much like the nation of Israel, you know, that, you know, God said, look, I'm your king. And the Israelites said, no, we need a king. We need a physical king here with us. And it's like, you're not going to like having a king. I'll give you one.
Yeah, right.
And Saul shows up, and he's not exactly the best guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have David shows up a little bit later, and David has his own issues. Now, the good thing about that, it shows that we're broken. We're all broken.
Yes.
And yet David is reminded, you know, that, you know, the Psalms are a great tool to help us see the messiness of our lives, at the same time the beauty of God showing up. And so, like I was sharing, you know, Psalm 46:10, you know, he's with us. He's on top on you know, he's on top of it all. That the Lord be what's he wanted us to do, to be still and know that he's mm-hmm. God, as opposed to getting wrapped up in all this messiness.
Pastor Tom with us this morning. We're going to talk a little bit more. I'll give you a few more numbers. There's some interesting peaks in the numbers and when they occurred. And then we'll get to the number as it stands right now and talk about that a little bit in this latest Gallup poll of American adults and their church attendance. Pastor Tom Repke from Linden Road Presbyterian Church, back with me. Tom, great to have you.
Yeah, great to be
here. Great to have you. So we're looking at these statistics, or as they say out in Bucyrus, statistics.
Yeah, it's actually called Bucky Rust, by the way.
Yeah, right.
Sorry.
It's okay. The latest poll done by the folks at Gallup on U.S. church membership. The lead on this is that church membership has fallen for United States adults below 50% for the first time in the history of the poll, which is now some 85 years old. It's an annual poll that they do. Interesting where some of the bumps occurred. The poll fell under 70% for the first time in the early 80s. First time ever. Then the first bump came during the second term of Ronald Reagan.
Imagine that.
Basically, the moral majority.
Right.
Yeah, that was the moral majority bump. Then it started to fall again. The last time that the Gallup poll had a 70% for American church membership among adults happened after September 11th.
Right.
2000.
Right. And I think, you know, yeah. It's amazing to see. Again, it points to this idea we keep putting our hope in things that are outside of, you know, where God wants us to spend time, right? I mean, mm-hmm. And so, you know, these natural bumps. And I think also, too, when you look at the you know, go into the details, you know, the millennials, you know, the folks born after 1981, they're the ones that are not connecting to churches.
Many of them have become, as the term has become known, nuns.
N-O-N-E. Right.
Meaning no affiliation in church at all.
Right. But then, you know, as we've shared about, you know, Melinda and I serving at Passion, you know, the last time we were there were 65,000 kids. They raised over $1 million for Bible translations. I mean, it was just amazing. You know, the same younger.
In a day.
Yeah. Right.
Right.
They did it through technology, online giving, text to giving, all that. But it just shows that, you know, again, this thing is so fragile that this faith that we have, in some regards, is a responsibility we have. Mm-hmm. And we're constantly having to walk with that in a faithful sort of way. And I think we want to look for the simple. So, you know, if we just build the right church with the right auditorium, with all the, or the sanctuary, with all the right accoutrements. I mean, right now, I'm in a conversation with some of our tribe about how do we, you know, should we take out the pews? You know, well, the truth is, when you think about how sanctuaries are laid out, the pews are beautiful in these great old these great churches, but at the same time, it's not very user friendly,
right?
And it's a style of education that I'm not so sure is where we're at today. That the idea of taking out the pews and putting, you know, tables and chairs. I know it's the whole sacred maybe, but the idea mm-hmm. of do we want life transformation? Right, and that's really what it comes down to. And to think that with the money we've put into these buildings, that you know, are only the space is only used on Sunday in the sanctuary,
right,
or Wednesday night or Sunday night, but still the investment we make, and what could we do with those dollars to impact our community?
So I said we were going to get to the ultimate number where we're at now. So here we go. From September 11th to the present time. The last time we hit 70% of U.S. adults having church membership, right after 9/11, the latest number is now from 70 down to 47%. Now, we can see that as something that is danger. We can see that as something that makes us weep and gnash our teeth. Or we can see that as opportunity.
Right.
How are we going to seize what we have here as a number?
Well, and it's interesting. Yesterday, I was in a conversation with some folks, the idea of what they're trying to build a building and how big should they build it. And the truth is, we're finding, as COVID did, that our buildings aren't as necessary for us mm-hmm. to do ministry today. And so those kinds of elements, and it's about community impact. So I'm all excited about it. I mean, who would have thought that, we would have thought radio had disappeared, but what you're doing with Transworld Radio here in a couple of weeks to put radios in Africa, I mean, that's crazy, but that's crazy cool. And mm-hmm. that's really how, many stations started years ago. It's like, here, the salesman would drop off a radio. And
Right.
And it's just beautiful that, and yet we still have all these unreached people groups. I was just met a young man who just moved back to the community from Indonesia. His parents are Wycliffe Bible translators, and we rode a bike last week, or bikes together last week. And I was just listening to his story, and he was just telling me, first of all, it was amazing when he got out of the car. Just this side note, he had his mask on, which I just thought was interesting. He's like, we're going to go ride our bikes, so we really don't need a mask outside. But just his sensitivity of like, I don't want to be, I want to be a good neighbor.
Right.
And so there was that, and I was really impressed with his character. But he talked about just that there's 300, his parents are committed to working on, there's still 350 languages that have yet to receive the scriptures in Indonesia.
Just in Indonesia?
Yeah, one country. And we take it for granted because we pick up our smartphones and we go to YouVersion or Bible Gateway and it's there, but it's like, no, we still need to have the hope of the gospel. And so the partnership with our friends, from Transworld Radio, this is going to be kind of fun to think.
Oh, it is. Okay, so let's hang on to what you just said.
Okay.
About the hope of the gospel.
Right.
And let's think a little bit about this number that we have fallen from September 11th to now, from 70% of U.S. adults being church-affiliated to 47%. To me, I thought two things when I saw that. Driving past community soccer fields on Sunday morning, I am surprised the number is that high.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Right, agreed.
And again, you need to say these are the membership numbers.
Right.
So that probably is not the number of people who are completely in the pews every Sunday.
Correct.
Probably not.
Right.
Probably much lower. So to me then, let's add all these things up. We have a generation of nuns, N-O-N-E-S, who have no church affiliation. We have 47% of Americans who are attending a church at least as a member, maybe only twice a year, for all we know. And we have a large number of people on a Sunday who really see the day as nothing more than a day of recreation and rest.
Correct.
How then should we live, as Francis Schaeffer once asked? What do we do next as a church? Because the gospel, like you said, it has not changed.
Right.
And yet there needs to be some way in which, delivery-wise,
right,
Jesus becomes appealing,
right,
and draws all men unto himself.
Right. Okay, so how did the gospel, after the resurrection, how did the kingdom grow?
Okay, here we go.
For 600 years, before we got the written scriptures, what was it? It was the testimony of people who said, I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
I saw him. He rose from the dead and even James, this amazing book, he even calls Jesus his Lord. Now, this is Jesus' half-brother, right?
Right.
So this all the sibling rivalry, it would have been interesting to be in that household growing up, but this the beauty of what that means for us. And so for us, I'm actually leaning into a series at the church this week for the next 5 weeks called Bless. And I'm just trying to equip my people who are good people, who love on our community well, as a small church, that we need to, first of all, we need to start with prayer. It's like, it's come to that.
Right? Exactly. Oh, no, we have to read the directions?
Yeah, right.
Really?
And I think the idea of how do we put people in relationship with ourselves? Well, part of it is take like my young friend that I met last week. It's like, here's an amazing young man, but he doesn't think he has a story to tell.
Hmm.
And so to say, look, I need you to, we need to have a couple conversations.
Everybody's got a story.
Right. And I want you to tell me about what it's like to leave America at age 5. And come back to America at age 19, what you've learned living in a third world country, where you're dependent upon the generosity of God's people in the first world to bless you so your family can continue to do ministry in a whole different context.
Mm-hmm.
So there's this hope. I mean, and it comes back to, again, it seems like we're always like, you got to walk with Jesus. And so who will Jesus put you in relationship with today? The barista at the coffee shop,
right,
or the clerk at the, and that's, I think, what we're learning. So we get, the church has got already been proven over the last year, or, you know, in a few months,
right,
that we're not in the buildings and we've got moving to our community.
So we've got the gospel.
Right.
And we should be good at that.
Right.
By now.
Right.
Okay. So I just turned to the end of Acts chapter 2. Oh, no, not that again.
Yeah.
Yes, that again.
Yes.
Starting at verse 42. Okay, if we're looking for a pattern.
Right.
And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and breaking of bread and prayer.
Oh.
Prayer? Okay. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and all had things in common.
Amazing.
Uh-huh. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I don't know, Tom. It just kind of looks to me like example.
Exactly. And I think, you know, once again, you know, as you follow God's people through the history of the world, literally, we keep, you know, waxing and waning from where God wants us to be. And I think, you know, we're learning now that, you know, so, you know, to finish this idea, so, you know, the first is we're going to be in prayer. That's the B in bless. And then the second letter is L for listen, right? Mm. Because too many times we want to bring judgment to where people are. And so to actually, you know, shut our mouths.
Ouch.
And listen with our ears on what God's going to say to us, like who will he bring in contact with us?
So should we see this ultimately, because I know we got another topic we want to get to in this hour, but should we see this Gallup poll with horror, with sadness, or with opportunity?
Oh, it's opportunity. It's always been opportunity. I mean, even in the promise of the curse that comes to, you know, mankind through our sin, in the very story of that, I mean, God immediately shows up with a promise. You know, the seed, someday out of the woman, her seed, this is the promise of Jesus. We see that, you know, looking back through the cross.
I wish I knew where it was in the Old Testament, because I read it about a month ago, basically, God is talking and basically says, I know you're going to disobey me.
Yeah.
I know you're going to disobey me and turn away from me.
Yes.
I know you're going to desecrate the temple
and
all of this. And I know you're going to go into exile.
Right.
You are going to go into exile. And then he says, even then, I will bring you back.
Yeah. I mean,
that's the kind of God we serve.
Exactly.
Because even though the number has dropped from 70 to 47%, God will bring it back.
He will. And we're always wanting to make it a process, you know, with, and that's in our tribe. That's the thing we're talking about. We've got this thing called the Book of Order, which is amazing because it gives you the why behind what we do. At the same time, it gets into the weeds a lot. And it's just like, it's totally irrelevant to where we find ourselves today. And so we put these systems, and even, you know, in terms of, we could go into the whole political conversation, you know, and again, these things, we set them up and we expect it to work, this, you know, step one, two, three. And it's like, well, but there's things that have changed. And part of it is, it comes back to my responsibility. If I'm walking with Jesus, if I'm having my intimate time with God, then it's going to have an impact on how I see myself in the world, to understand I've been blessed to be a blessing.
I'm glad we're spending time with Pastor Tom this morning. We do have to move on. Very interesting with some things happening with J.D. Greer and Ed Stetzer as a result of getting vaccinated against COVID-19. We're going to check that out in just a moment. We will spend some more time with Pastor Tom. We have Andre's forecast, though. That's coming up next in 30 seconds here on Mornings with Mark without Gabe here on Heartfelt Radio. Gabe's back on Thursday. It's Tuesday morning, 13th of April, 2021. I'm Mark Zimmerman. Gabe is off until Thursday. And Pastor Tom Repke from Linden Road Presbyterian, back in the studio.
Good morning. Sitting in the right chair, too.
Exactly. Yes, you are not sitting in Gabe's chair. It has been duly noted by a listener who is away until Thursday.
Yes, let it be known.
we sent a picture to make sure that Gabe knew that you were not in her chair.
Yes, that's important.
But we have had some coffee cake ministry happen, and we are thankful to your wife, Melinda, as always.
Yeah, I'm blessed.
Oh, it's looking good.
Yeah.
No wonder you have to bike long distances.
I do.
That's the only way you can not weigh 400 pounds.
Exactly.
Exactly. Married to a culinary artist, it is the curse of some.
It is, but... I'm willing to bear this one.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, glad to have you back.
Good to be here.
So, yesterday, I was digging into a story out of Christianity Today that actually was posted a couple of days ago. So, here's the setup. And actually, you have something to add to it from yesterday. But the president of the Southern Baptist Convention posted a photo last week on Facebook of himself getting the COVID-19 vaccine. It drew more than 1,100 comments, many of them voicing admiration for Pastor J.D. Greer and many, many others who really took him to task. Some of the critics wondered if worshipers would now need, quote, vaccine passports, unquote, to enter the Summit Church in Durham, North Carolina, where Greer is pastor. Others depicted the vaccines as satanic or unsafe, or suggested that Greer was complicit in government propaganda.
Ugh.
How did we get here?
Well, yeah, I mean, we put our hope in a whole different process, right? And I guess, and to add to it, Ed Stetzer, who's sits at the mm-hmm. Billy Graham Center in Wheaton, among many other things, he posted a picture. A group with him and, 10,000 people probably, but getting his second shot
mm-hmm.
and, complete pushback. And I'm thinking, really? And it was just like, where is our church? And so we wonder why people don't want to be part of the church, because we shoot our own.
Well, I noticed, too, in Ed Stetzer's case, his caption was that he said, I'm being a good neighbor.
Right.
That word has already come up once.
Right.
In our conversation
and
today.
In the narrative I read through.
Who is my neighbor?
Well,
I remember that question from somewhere in Scripture.
Yeah, actually, it goes back to Leviticus.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I mean, it's literally...
Speaking of that, reading the Old Testament this year.
Yeah. I mean, it's literally in the middle of the book of Leviticus,
mm-hmm.
right smack dab in the middle. And it's what Jesus draws on when he sort of says, okay, no, this is really what it comes down to. And you think about the night that he has the Last Supper, and he's like, love others like go and do likewise, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, okay, so how do we do that? And we've gotten so caught up in the politicization of this thing, as opposed to, the science. I'm married to a nurse. She's a smart woman, and mm-hmm. I'm trusting her guidance.
Right.
And I get it, but that's why we've got all these issues about the state having to be involved and all these things. It's like if we just lived our lives like Acts chapter 2.
Well, there's that.
And I'm being too utopian, right?
I know. But I also am married to an RN.
Right.
And that RN has an 86-year-old dad living in our in-law suite.
Right.
And so we have approached this last year carefully. And shazam, 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 believe it or not, nobody in our house has even had a cold.
Oh, right.
Since last February.
There you go.
Very interesting.
Yeah, well, the flu disappeared this year, right?
Yeah, it did.
Because...
Now, why is that?
Right. And I guess if we're left to our own devices, if we would just love our neighbors well and be respectful, well, we don't. I mean, why do we have to be told by the state to wash our hands for 40 seconds? Really? I mean, your mom told you that, right?
Mom knows.
Well, yeah.
Mom knew.
But we just, again, it's this, and I think in America especially, our daughter's living in Paris. Sarah's in Paris with Tomas, and... Her husband is, we've had a couple conversations. He's like, I just don't understand you Americans, just mm-hmm. do what you need to do.
And of course, France is going to be on lockdown again.
It is.
Or they are.
They are currently.
They are currently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the bakery Sarah's working at is actually, they've shut down for a couple weeks, especially because they just are having trouble. And I understand all that. I even saw this morning that, you know, Dave Ramsey is, you know, going to go in Tennessee to see if he can get the mask mandate removed. And I get all that, but I want to rise above that to say, you know, the reason why the slide the Gallup is showing is that we have forgotten one more time as human beings that we have a God who sent his son, who walked on the earth, who offered up his life to set us back in relationship with God. And that's the hope of the gospel. And we need to live in the context of that, even in the various cultures, whether it's America or Indonesia or France, right?
It's interesting because my thinking has come not 180 degrees since last March when the mask first went on.
Sure.
But it's come a little bit in various directions. For instance, now that I am a grandparent of a full 9 weeks experience,
and
what is it that I am looking for?
Right.
I am looking forward to that day where I do not have to wear a mask with my granddaughter.
Right.
And that day is coming very soon.
Right.
That day is coming soon. Okay. Do I like the mask? No.
Right.
I do not like the mask. Not one bit. Do I wear it? Yes, I do. Because I want to be a good neighbor, not only to my neighbor, but to my father-in-law, who is 86, and we kind of like having him around.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And those who I come in contact with on a regular basis. Will I take the mask off in public places, as soon as I am able to do so? Yes, I probably will most of the time.
Right.
But I think this is where I've kind of pulled away from where I was 12 months ago. Will I wear a mask in a grocery store? I very well may for a long, long time. Will I wear it inside a mall? I very well might for a long, long time. Will I wear it at the ballpark? Yeah, I think I might, without a doubt. Why? Because of my neighbor.
Right.
I want to respect my neighbor.
Right.
And, you know, this, what we have here in this story about J.D. Greer or whether it's Ed Stetzer, it just, it makes me very sad because we're not stopping to think about our neighbor.
We aren't, right.
Yeah. And it kind of hurts.
It does. And I think, again, it's so confusing for many of us because, you know, it's if we all lived in that context of Acts chapter 2, but, you know, we live in a world that isn't, you know, far from Christ. I mean, you played Andrew Peterson on my drive up. And
yeah, the far country.
The far country that C.S. Lewis talks about. And
right.
There's this amazing thing. But, you know, we know there are many people who are far. And so how they live their lives, and I want to live on that side of it to, you know, not that I'm a, you know, blindly following. It's like, no, we've proven, like, okay, there wasn't a lot of flu this year. Why? Well, because we were exercising some practices that helped to prevent that.
Exactly.
And I guess it's those things, the uncertainty of it. And, you know, I wish in the political process, you know, that's where it's come to right now, of just the difficulties of, so the fight that's going on in Ohio between, you know, the governor and, you know, the General Assembly.
Yes.
But to be honest, I don't see, I'm disappointed in our legislative leaders in that regards. You know, just to go political for a moment, it just, this idea of being a good citizen, that I want to see leadership, and that's the problem. And the problem is that we've made government something that, you know, it can't be. And if we're dealing with each other in relationship, these things will become apparent, I think. The idea of how do I love my neighbor well? So again, just real quick, so I'm doing this thing. So the word bless, you know, first is to be in prayer, L is to listen, E is to eat. Now, it's a little complicated in COVID, but the idea of doing community with each other. So
okay,
what you just read out of Acts chapter 2, it's about those relationships. That I'm sitting at the table with you, you know, whether it's coffee, cake, or
Yeah, else. Exactly.
Yeah, you know, there's something that come out of that. But to encourage our people to think about that, you know, as God's people, you know, who could you invite out for coffee or Coke or, you know, go to Taco Bell or, you know, wherever you go to have a meal and invite people into that conversation. Then the S is serve, just serve people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what, I mean, Rick Warren, I heard him say that Saddleback has now become the food distribution network in Lake Forest.
Wow.
Because they could muster all these volunteers. Mm.
Talk about being a neighbor.
Right. And then what comes from that, the last S in Bless's story is that when you start doing that, all of a sudden you get a chance to have a relationship with somebody to tell your story to someone else. And you think again back to Acts chapter 2, what was it? It wasn't the written word. It was that people had actually seen the risen Jesus walk amongst mm-hmm. them. And it changed everything, literally. And it wasn't some, you know, and that's how you go back to the membership. I mean, it's not about signing the certificate, right? It's about living life in a way that is transformative for you personally. I mean, there's nothing more fun than serving other people.
Amen.
Right? Yeah. I mean, even the day I was up here for the election, you guys were out just, you know, blessing people in the lobby, you know?
Who were waiting in line, yeah.
Yeah. Just
line got long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, it's complicated, and it's supposed to be to some degree, because it's supposed to cause us to pause and go back to, you know, trust that you need to be quiet and still.
Because we're messy human beings.
We are. We? Yeah, we're broken. Yeah. But the hope is we can be restored, and that's the promise of the gospel. And my story matters. Your story matters. I mean, you and Gabe talk about, you know, the waiting, you know.
Waiting in the hallway.
Yeah. And look at it now. I mean, who would have thought? I mean, a year ago, in a few months, right? It's like mm-hmm. February 14th was an amazing day, and it wasn't in your day timer to go to the lockdown.
No, it wasn't. No, not at the start of 2019.
Right, how you've leveraged it, and now you're going to leverage it even more. Again, just I'm excited for the, because we've been to Africa, and mm-hmm. so, you know, once you see what the gospel can do with, you know, our generosity as Americans, so I hope you sell, you know, are able to raise a lot of money to put radios in people's huts.
To wrap up here on this social media story about J.D. Greer and also Ed Stetzer, please think before you hit send or post. Please, please.
Right. I mean, it goes back to listen, right? I mean, we have two ears and one mouth. And there's a reason for that. And to hit pause in that moment, because a lot of people are looking to us as the church, right? Not some building.
Well, they're watching.
Right. And how we conduct with each other translates. And I just want to be known as people who are generous, people who love, people who are concerned, and, you know, and that even reading through 1 Corinthians, we're doing a Bible study on Thursdays, and it's just, you know, it's a messy place for, you know, Corinth.
No kidding.
But, you know, Paul keeps walking in them and, walking them through it and helping them see. Because, again, it's, you know, a conversation about Gentiles and Jews and understanding what it means to be a Christ follower, and should we be circumcised or uncircumcised? You know, it's like, no, you're missing the whole point. It's about your heart. And have you encountered Jesus in a personal way?
Tom, can you finish our time together by praying us into these next couple months?
Sure. Be happy to. Let's. All right. Father, we're grateful for the promise you give to us, that if we are still and wait on you, that you will show up, that you'll be exalted. And so I pray for all of us this morning. Thank you for this platform, for what Mark and Gabe and Heartfelt are able to do in our community and worldwide, literally. And we just pray that as we lean into that as your people, that we would find your delight in us, that as we lean into the hope of what we know, as we've celebrated just a couple weeks ago, your resurrection one more time, may that power encourage us, that we live in the power of the ascension of you. So Jesus, thank you. We pray it in your most precious name. Amen.
And amen. Thanks, Tom.
Blessings.
Always good to have you around.
Always good to be here.
Well, hey, Tom, grab that microphone one more time.
Yeah.
Okay, he's got it. Okay, good. I thought it might be a really interesting thing to, I don't know if you heard our heartfelt thought of the day.
I did.
It seems to fit with what we were talking about. Adrian Rogers says, knowledge comes from looking around. Wisdom comes from looking up.
Yep.
What a reminder.
Just look up.
Or in my case, I even added looking down.
Yeah.
If you've got your Bible open.
Right.
Yeah.
And you want to be seated. I mean, if you're walking with your phone, right, stop.
Exactly. If you're reading it off.
Yeah. Look up. I mean, yeah. The hope is in you know, what God wants to do in and through us and in spite of us, as I like
in
to.
Spite of us. Again, Adrian Rogers with our heartfelt thought of the day. Knowledge comes from looking around. Wisdom comes from looking up.
Amen.
Adrian Rogers, Love Worth Finding, 2:30 every Monday through Friday afternoon here on Heartfelt Radio. Tom, thanks again.
Blessings.
All right.
Thanks.
Pastor Tom Repke, Linden Road Presbyterian.
WKJA, Brunswick, Akron, Canton, Heartfelt Radio, and online at heartfeltradio.org.
8:11 on a Tuesday morning. It's Mark Without Gabe. She'll be back on Thursday. Thanks again to Pastor Tom Repke for being with us in the last hour and talking through some interesting stuff with us. Appreciate that very, very much. Not only was it great to have Tom here, and Gabe always enjoys these conversations with our friend Pastor Tom Repke, but hey, you know, Melinda Repke sent us some coffee cake ministry too. So this would have been like winner, winner chicken dinner or winner, winner coffee cake breakfast, either way. So yeah, Gabe's back with us on Thursday having her post-final paper pre-commencement vacation after finishing everything for her bachelor's degree. Good stuff. Way to go, Gabe.